Today, Marcus is joined by three special guests who all learn what to do with an idea. They also review Fire Emblem Heroes. All that and more on this week's episode of Trust Circle.
Hey there, ladies and spaghettis. Welcome to Trust Circle, TopShelfGaming.net's number one podcast. I am your host, filling in for our regular host. I am Marcus Garrett, and I'm joined today by a cast of, I guess, people who are not normally on this show. So we have some returners, but today I have with me Gary, who you may remember from episode 17, where a lot of people were angry at our ranting.
Really?
Yeah, I mean,
who was angry? Dad? Just Dad?
Dad was a little angry.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Daddy Devin. But we also have Evan.
Catchphrase.
Staff writer at Top Shelf Gaming. And our last guest today is Edwin, who is another good friend of the show, and we're happy to have you.
Good to be here.
I'm glad you are here. So today's show is going to be a little bit different. Obviously, I am steering the ship today, and so Devin and Valerie will be back next week, but we're going to start the show the same way we always do, just talking about our weeks. So, Gary, what's been new in your life? What have you been up to lately?
I've been putting laminate flooring in my room.
Why?
Because there was a leak in the roof and all the carpet got wet. So, replacing the carpet.
So, you're going to have a carpetless room.
Yes. Because technically I'm homeless. No, not anymore. She's the worst.
So when did it start leaking?
In December. So I've been not sleeping in there for a while. But things are getting back to normal. So that's good.
That's good.
Yep.
That's good. What else has been going on?
Why did you start with me? I had no opportunity to prepare.
I'm like formulating my story right now.
Yeah. Let's see. I downloaded the new Fire Emblem for the mobile game. It came out yesterday.
That's
around like 3 o'clock p.m.
Great.
In North America on iOS.
Okay.
Yeah. Other than that, I tried the
naked chicken chalupa.
Yes.
Yes. Have any of you tried it?
I have no idea what those words put together mean.
I assume not Taco Bell.
Taco Bell, yes.
Okay.
Oh, of course.
It's the greatest thing that they have ever done, hands down.
So, like, kind of okay?
No, it's like...
Yikes.
It's literally amazing. I've had three so far.
I've had two.
Yeah. It's so it's like a taco, but the shell is made out of fried chicken.
Oh, I did see that, like, advertised.
Yeah. And
heart attacks.
Amazing. Basically.
Selling heart attacks.
It's amazing. It's actually not that bad.
for you or
wait,
like
wait, yes.
For you.
For you. Okay.
I thought you were from saying, like,
it's amazing.
It's not that bad.
Taste-wise, it's really, really good. But, like, health-wise, it's, like, still... In terms of fast food, like, it's pretty healthy.
Oh, in terms of fast food.
In terms of fast food. I mean,
okay. In the context.
It's still a taco wrapped in fried chicken, so it's still not healthy.
Well, I mean,
if you put it like that.
I mean, think of it's not super carb heavy.
Okay. It's thinly breaded, yeah.
Yeah, because it has light breading and there's no tortilla. There's like no fried shell.
Okay.
It's just like
there's a fried shell. It's just a
yeah,
animal.
Yeah, yeah. But it's, you know, it's and then the rest is like just filled with like vegetables.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like still in terms of fast food, pretty good, but like
all right.
I honestly crave them. I crave them every day, and then my office is just filled with like pictures of them.
Oh god, you're in purgatory
everywhere. Yeah, and so I've had
chalupatory.
Chalupatory.
Not a good joke. Sorry. Mm-hmm.
So Marcus's week has been the naked chicken chalupa.
My week has been a lot of eating Taco Bell.
I feel like that's either a good thing or a bad thing.
It's an interesting thing.
I was wrong.
All right.
We have these taste panels. So the Taco Bell headquarters has a test kitchen where where the food team comes up with all the new food and all the different products. And so what they do is that whenever they're coming up with something new, they will invite everyone who works in the building to like try out all of their new products. And so they've been testing out a lot of like new things, and they're really wacky, and so that was fun, just like getting to taste what they're working on next.
Wait, so that's like their job?
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Like, there is a whole team of people whose job it is to create new Taco Bell products. And so the Naked Chicken Chalupa, they actually started working on like 2 years ago, and it's now coming out.
It takes that long to get like how long did the chalupa take? That's crazy.
Millennia. It took millennia for the chalupa to coalesce.
This has been a thousand years in the process.
But yeah, so I mean, that wasn't like all that I did. Oh, I got rejected. Should I not have brought the hat up? No.
I mean, it's your story.
Yeah. No, I guess.
Did she listen to the podcast?
What? No, I'm just. No. Anyway, rest in peace, my sad, fragile heart. Edwin, how was your week?
All right.
It's like no, Mr. Krabs.
The well formulated.
Yeah. Good. Baby.
Topic change.
Well. Also, this is your first time on this show. So tell us a little bit about yourself. What can the people know about you? And tell us maybe a little bit about your favorite games.
My favorite games?
Yeah.
I've always really enjoyed strategy games.
Mm-hmm.
That's convenient.
Yeah, it actually is. I liked Fire Emblem since I was like really young. But
so you being on this show,
it's just coincidence, you know.
You might say that it's Fire Emblem Fate.
I was worried you'd make that joke early on.
Had to get it out of the way.
But yeah, now I'm just, you know, young engineer that likes to play video games with most of my free time, which is a lot.
Well, yeah, I mean, we got you, Gary and I got you hooked on Overwatch.
Ah, yes, I did get Overwatch. I got a PS4 because of them, actually, and Overwatch.
We're very persuasive.
And I downloaded the new Fire Emblem.
Because of us.
Because of them.
We're terrible in
right now. Just now.
Just now, yeah. Evan as well.
Yeah.
Evan is currently playing.
No, I'm not, because
during our show,
you just slapped that way.
He's literally.
No, I would be playing if I wasn't out of stamina. We'll get to that later.
I'm out
of stamina, so I have to actually sit here and listen to you people.
Now we know how it feels to be a college professor.
Yeah. Or how it feels to be an internship advisor.
Oh, Ben.
Should I feel guilty?
I've definitely out of our whole class last semester, you were definitely on the phone the most.
I'm not going to argue with that.
This podcast is actually an intervention.
So that's cool. Strategy games. Have you been gaming like your whole life?
I mean, I've always enjoyed playing video games.
Yeah.
But I'd say I picked it up more as I got older, which is strange. But I still remember like one of my earliest memories, which is kind of sad, I guess, is like walking out of the mall with my new Game Boy and Pokemon. I remember that specifically.
Dude, that's a pretty awesome early memory.
Wait, why does that sound sad?
Oh, because, like, I probably wasn't that young, so I shouldn't know more.
but that was the first memory that... Of
video games, that, at least, that stuck with me.
That mattered.
That mattered.
Up until that point, everything else was
I was actually getting to the sad part, though. Oh. It was sad because I remember getting out with it, and my sister and I were arguing about who would go first, and my mom was like, Edwin gets to go first because it was his idea, and I was like, yes. And we got home, and my sister took it because she was bigger than me, and then she played it.
That is pretty sad.
That is actually painful.
I have a pretty early Pokemon memory. It's also sad. I was playing Pokemon Blue, and my grandmother was actually in the hospital, and we were...
And a little sadder.
No, a little bit. But I remember being in the hospital room, and my grandpa was there, and he was watching me play, and he was like, "You can't play Pokemon because it's demonic," and I just remember just being like, just so like angry, like, these Pokemon save the world, like, you know, Ash is like, he's like so nice, and I was like, I don't know, however old, like how old were we then,
like first or second grade,
yeah,
like,
yeah,
really young,
so like six-ish, yeah. And I just remember like how could anyone say this about Pokemon? It's such a pure, like, I was just like, but.
But then, imagine him now if he knew about Pokemon. He's like, oh, so is Arceus the real god then? False idols?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I remember that very clearly, just kind of being in that room and, yeah.
Okay.
That's a weirdly heavy memory.
Are we all going to share our really sad video game memories?
Yeah, if you got them.
This topic is a lot darker than I was told.
I don't know about if that's a good place to go with
this. Although I will probably make my sister listen to this podcast. So she knows the psychological damage she did to me.
Well, that's good. That's just revenge.
Yeah. I mean, she's not going to listen to it. She won't listen to me.
Evan, how was your week?
My turn to share now? Yeah. It was pretty good. I went back to classes at Chapman, which is like... kind of cool, kind of annoying, because now I also have homework.
This is your final semester, right?
Yeah, that's not terrifying at all. So that was happening during the week. I also started playing A Link to the Past, finally, because like that is a massive gap in my my gaming knowledge. And I traditionally like to play a Zelda game all the way through before a new Zelda game comes out, Before Skyward Sword came out, I replayed through Twilight Princess. Mm, that's cool. So I just figured I'd do that same thing, but with Link to the Past now. It's really cool.
How far into are you?
I just beat Aghanim and got into the Dark World.
Mm,
so, nice. Like, what was that? Like, a third of the way through? A little bit more than a third?
Yeah, that's not super far into it. Did you play Link Between Worlds?
Yes, I did, and I love that game.
And so you're seeing all of the, like...
So, yeah, I've got it reversed. I'm seeing, like, oh, this is where I went to, like, collect this item in Link Between Worlds, but it's, like, actually, oh, this is where you went in Link to the Past, and...
Mm-hmm.
So that was that. And I downloaded Fire Emblem Heroes later in the week, and I've been playing that.
Cool.
And would probably honestly be playing it right now if stamina wasn't a thing.
Well, we'll get to that soon. So, Evan, like, how are you, Like, you're a big Zelda fan too. You even have Zelda shoes, which yes. I'm like eternally jealous of. How is playing a Link to the Past like shaping your understanding of the Zelda franchise?
Oh, that's a weird kind of question. My understanding of the franchise is pretty much based on Ocarina of Time. That's that's the first one that I played. It was always really tough for me in the past to go back and replay the like top-down 2D Zelda games. Just because I started playing in 3D, so that was always a weird thing for me. The funny thing is that I kind of feel like I've already played A Link to the Past, partially because of A Link Between Worlds, but also just because I've done a lot of research, I guess, on Zelda. Yeah. I know A Link to the Past, and I know that Ocarina of Time is basically just the template for A Link to the Past, put into 3D, pretty much. Like, three dungeons, and then, something happens, and then there's another world, and, that whole thing. But I don't have, a specific nostalgia for A Link to the Past, so I know that most people tend to think that A Link to the Past is actually, the better between those two, because it was the more original one, and it, set up the foundation and the flow of the games. But I actually think that Ocarina of Time ages better.
That's
interesting. And that might just be a factor of nostalgia, but because I don't have nostalgia for A Link to the Past, if it were in a Zelda game, I probably wouldn't keep playing through it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm interested in it for what it means, and that might change as I get deeper into the game if aspects of it evolve. But right now, it's more of a history lesson kind of for me, and there's a lot to learn from it, but I'm not really getting a new a totally new perspective on the series, if that makes sense, because I've already lived through so many iterations of Zelda already. This is just another one.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask and Wind Waker were the formative Zelda experiences for me.
The way that you're talking about this game reminds me a lot of how I felt about Spirit Tracks. Except the obvious difference is A Link to the Past is such a significant game just in terms of gaming in general, but also the Zelda franchise and all of its history. And so to hear you talk about this game that way, I think is really interesting. I know for me, my first Zelda game was Zelda 1, the actual Zelda, and I didn't really play it much. I went to this daycare growing up, and they had every video game, and that's where
it started.
Yeah, I think that's where it started, because there was 20 kids there, and we all played video games, we all watched TV, we all watched because of that daycare, that's how I got into Pokemon, Dragon Ball Z, and just all of these things. I only watched those things at daycare. And so
that's
I
awesome
watched
daycare.
Like the best
yeah, that's
daycare
ever.
That
sounds like Chuck E. Cheese.
That's better than Chuck E. Cheese.
Dragon
absolutely.
Ball Z.
More quality
Zelda.
Arcade games. Yeah. Yeah.
Better pizza. Way better pizza. And I don't know, just I wasn't good enough to play those games, but I watched the older kids play them, and so I actually didn't beat Ocarina of Time on my own until the 3DS version, but I've watched people play the entire thing.
Right.
And so I knew that whole game, and it was almost as if I had played it, but
right. Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Ocarina of Time was the first video game I ever beat, and I beat it in tandem with my brother. We both had two different save files going, so just if he was playing, I would watch him go, and we kind of figure it out together. and we had like the hour, the hour clock on the side, and I didn't realize it was an hour clock at first. I thought it was a percentage thing. So I thought that like just spending more time in a dungeon like got you more percentage. Like my brain didn't recognize that.
Just wasn't.
But I remember because I thought like, oh, I'm at like 95%. I almost beat the game, and so like it took me 96 hours. And back when I was really young, my parents like didn't let me play video games like a lot at any one time. Right. Where it had to be like an hour settings per day or so. And I would like play games like aside from that. So over the course of 95 hours spread out however long, Ocarina of Time was actually the only game on the N64 that held my attention enough for me to beat it.
Wow.
That's
so
awesome.
That's like kind of indicative of how important that game is to me.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
What's your favorite Zelda, Gary?
I really like Ocarina of Time, obviously. Mm-hmm. I feel like everyone our age loves that one. Yeah. But I didn't beat it until like freshman year of high school.
Oh.
Because I was never able to play it because my brother had had like I guess precedent over me. So, and he got stuck in Jabu Jabu.
Yeah.
Like using the box.
Was it the box?
Yeah.
That had me and my brother stuck for so long. Yeah. I remember the exact moment when that happened. When we finally figured it out.
After that we must have spent a whole day inside Jabu Jabu trying to figure that out. And we never did. I never actually touched the remote. So I was just like, And then in high school, I was like, it's just a box? Like, that's all I took was the box on the Switch to open up like the final boss. So. Yeah, that one was my favorite because it's the first one I beat. But I really love Skyward Sword, too, even though the mechanics are horrible.
What? No, Skyward Sword is awesome.
Well,
I love Skyward Sword.
It's just awkward for a lot of people.
Yeah.
But I love that game. I love the design and all the thought put into it. And I don't know. I love all of them.
I love that game.
They're so good. Even a bad Zelda game.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, maybe there could be a bad Zelda game, but so far, like the worst Zelda games have still been good.
Let's not tempt them to.
A bad Zelda game is still better than most games.
Yes, there it is.
Yeah. Like even Hyrulean Warrior is amazing.
Okay, well, I'm talking about like actual.
I know. I'm just defending
here.
Everything.
Get out of here.
If Link's in it, I'll play it.
Yeah.
That's fair. Same, but I won't. And I'll still probably like it.
But if Linkle's in it, how does that.
Oh, she's got a skirt? Okay, let's do it.
And
two crossbows?
Two
crossbows?
crossbows.
That makes up for it.
That makes no sense, but.
No, not at all.
Oh, yeah. Zelda. I'm really looking forward to Zelda. It's exactly 1 month away.
Oh my
god. Are you serious? Oh my god, you're right.
It's 1 month away.
Oh my gosh, I'm not ready.
I'm very excited.
Oh
about
man,
that.
My life is gonna
I'll beat A Link to the Past by then. That's good. What's your favorite Zelda game? Is it A Link to the Past?
Wind Waker.
Oh, Wind Waker?
We've talked about that.
Yeah, like at this
I've
point,
asked you that question.
Everyone
a month away?
Know.
It's 1 month, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh Jesus! Start mentally preparing.
I've been trying to find
start camping outside.
The special edition
today.
And I can't find it anywhere.
Well, oh, yeah. with the Master Sword.
No, so there's Masters and then there's Special.
Oh, okay.
Masters has the Master Sword and then like Special basically has everything else,
okay.
Minus Master Sword and coin.
So it still has a little pouch.
Yeah. So it has the Switch case, and then it has the Symphony CD.
Oh.
And so
that's
cool.
They did another one? Did they do another one?
You need that for studying purposes.
I need it.
Zelda music is the best thing to study, too.
The Symphony of the Goddess is
so amazing.
The Gerudo theme is in from Skyward Sword is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah,
like,
so good.
Do you remember that time
when
me and you saw it?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, you guys saw it in concert?
That was my imagination because what happened again? We were good people. That's what.
Yeah, I mean, feel free to tell it.
So we were all really pumped up. Marcus came down to San Diego and we were all ready to go. It was like 5 blocks away from my house. We're literally meeting up with the people. No, what was it? The people that won the tickets.
Yeah, so
that you know.
So
they were trying to get
year,
in.
Top Shelf Gaming.
Oh my god!
Has a ticket giveaway where we give away tickets to the Zelda Symphony of so the nice of them. Goddesses.
Yeah.
At Comic-Con. Mm-hmm. And so, Edwin, you can go from there.
So then the winners of this contest, they were trying to get in, but they contacted us, or they contacted Marcus, because apparently their names weren't on the list or the tickets weren't available. Something along those lines. So essentially we have these two winners and then the two of us who also had tickets. And we were given a choice of, you know, going to see something that I would have loved to see and I still haven't seen yet and would have changed my life forever, or be good people. So we decided to be good people, and then we got some chicken sandwiches.
Which weren't as good as...
They weren't as good as...
As Zelda would have been.
Yeah, not nearly.
Oh, you got chicken sandwiches instead of the symphony.
Yeah, we...
It's not exactly a...
We went home. I had a Zelda shirt that Marcus got me, and it was... The shirt felt sad. I felt sad.
Yeah, it wasn't a cuckoo sandwich.
They would have killed us.
You had a fun, Gary? No.
Wait, what's your favorite Zelda game?
Again, Ocarina of Time, obviously, was a special place. I rekindled my love for Twilight Princess, actually, not too long ago.
Twilight Princess is fantastic. Were you playing
it on Wii U?
Yeah, because, of course, I have that time.
Oh, Breath of the Wild, like, pairs with it. I actually need to play it now.
Yeah, play it, play it. That's...
I mean, I've... I got to the water temple.
Does what?
The amiibo. With the wolf.
Yeah.
Compatibility.
I should picked it up because I was watching...
E3 and watching them do it.
And I just saw it. I was like, well... I should probably play that, so I played it all the way through.
Yeah.
See, great game.
I bought the Amiibo, but like I don't want to use it because I want to keep it in the box. But like I also want the perks of it.
Yeah.
But I don't want to like take it out. So I don't know. I'm like in this weird place of like, should I, shouldn't I?
When I was in Europe,
yeah,
they have like these amazing in Spain. They have these amazing like department stores, mm-hmm. and they have this beautiful like video game section. And it's like everything that you don't see in America, but it's in Spanish.
Oh, that's cool.
And I bought like 8 amiibos because they're all rare. Like they're all unicorns at that time, at least. So I have like 2 Robins and 2 Ganondorfs, and I got you. I think I got you, Baby Bowser.
I think I asked for a Robin.
I don't remember
what I gave you. He's just trying to get one now.
I've
got two.
I have all these amiibos in my closet and I don't want to open them because I'm like, they're from Europe. They're special. Yeah. They're not special. They're just amiibos.
They're not, but like also they are.
Yeah. They're special to me.
Yeah.
In my heart.
Yeah. Is that going to be a thing with the Switch amiibos?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh boy.
There is no way that they are
gonna it's so susceptible to their marketing schemes. It's horrible.
How much money are you gonna drop on Fire Emblem Heroes?
I'm trying not to drop anything.
Okay, but realistically,
you know what?
When I play mobile games, I try not to spend.
We
anything.
Are gonna get there, but first let's take a quick break. And when we return, we will talk about Fire Emblem Heroes. And we're back. We had a very eventful break where all of us just sat around the table playing Fire Emblem.
And a children's book.
We also read that children's book.
Forget it.
I don't know where this book came from, but it's just on my kitchen counter, and it's called...
What to Do with an Idea.
What to Do with an Idea. And... it's this like really like heartfelt book, and it was like 20 pages, and like all 4 of us were almost like crying, like
and at the end. And didn't Valerie illustrate it?
I mean, she might as well have.
Yeah, because it's beautiful. Really, really good art.
Because it's beautiful art.
Yeah.
Is the art as beautiful as the art in Fire Emblem Heroes?
It's a different realm completely. So I would say it could be in a Fire Emblem game.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so our topic of today, as you might have guessed, is we're going to be talking about Fire Emblem and asking the question, what does Fire Emblem mean for Nintendo's future? So, Evan, you helped us really come up with this question. So could you explain really kind of the basis of this question and where we'll go?
Well, the reason why I think this is an important question is because Fire Emblem has seemed like a niche game or series for Nintendo for a long time. There, a lot of people like us really love the games. Some people have gotten very deep into the series. But it's never been like a huge seller until Awakening came out in 2012. And then there was another 3-year gap between Awakening and the most recent Fire Emblem games, and they released how many at the same time? Two at the same time or three?
Two at the same time, and then a third one.
There was
one
a third one that came out later, so they released like basically like what they would do with a Pokemon game. They did it with a Fire Emblem game, and then 2016 comes around, and they do an entire Nintendo Direct on Fire Emblem.
Which is, we've never seen that.
They've only done like a Nintendo specific Nintendo Directs for like what, Smash and like
Smash
console reveals.
Animal Crossing? Did they have one?
I don't know if they had one that was specifically like only Animal. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know. But they do that and they announce, well, they show off Fire Emblem Warriors. Fire Emblem Heroes had already been announced, but they show that off for the first time. They announced that there's another Fire Emblem game coming out for the 3DS later this year, and then they also announced that there will be a Fire Emblem coming out for the Switch next year. So they basically talk about four new Fire Emblem games that are coming out within pretty much the next 365 days, maybe like 400 depending on when the Switch one comes out, which is massive. Like, that's a lot for this game, this series that up until kind of recently was like very niche. And for me, Fire Emblem is a core element of Nintendo that I never really expected to get that from. I was expected to like play one of the Fire Emblem games once every like 3 years or something on a handheld.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And now all of a sudden, maybe due to the success of Awakening or something, like it seems like they're actually building it in as like they want it to be another Donkey Kong, Zelda, Mario. And,
it has become or is becoming a flagship Nintendo franchise.
And that's fascinating for me because they haven't like been building one of those up, like they've been coasting on ones, and now it's like all of a sudden they have a new one, but it's not really new. Like it already has a built. It's like a new one that already has a built-in audience too.
Well, I mean, I think you really have to give credit to Smash Brothers because, without it, like it would still be a very unknown entity. Yeah.
I probably wouldn't have picked up the first one if I didn't know about Marth and Roy.
Yeah, and
I thought that Hector and Elwood on the cover of like the first Fire Emblem game that came out in the U.S., I thought that was Marth and Roy.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that those were different characters.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's really the genius and part of the core strategy of Smash Brothers was that you bring all these characters together and it's just one giant advertisement for all of Nintendo's games, and like you can look at even the first game and like think, well, of course everyone knows Mario, like everyone knows Pikachu, everyone knows this, but I mean if it wasn't for Kirby, you know, being in Smash Brothers, if Captain Falcon wasn't there, if Ness wasn't in it. Mm-hmm. There's just a ton of Nintendo games that I never would have been exposed to. So when you bring it back to Fire Emblem, their inclusion in the like Smash games started to build that relevance back up. But now we're having this resurgence, which I think is crazy because
it's like beyond just them being known, it's them being like,
it's like them being wanted.
Yeah
It's like the Olympics, like you see all these the different worlds competing, but now we see Fire Emblem, it's become like a world power because it's getting so much attention. So Fire Emblem is the new China,
even, new China
of the world.
Well, happy Chinese new year from Fire Emblem.
Open those loot boxes.
Oh, I have. $70 worth. I hate myself. So, I mean, why is four games significant?
I mean, what other series is releasing four games related to that series in the next year?
And on different, completely different
consoles. Yeah, that too.
Mobile, Switch, and 3DS.
It's...
And Dynasty Warriors. That's
like, what else is doing? Yeah, I can't think of any that...
Oversaturation, right? Yeah. Like
It's something that... It would scare me if they weren't all different styles.
Yeah.
Like, Fire Emblem Warriors, it's a Fire Emblem game, but it's also a Dynasty Warriors game. I'm probably not gonna... I might play that game, but that's not, like, the point when I say four games is that, like, Fire Emblem Warriors, it's, like, just shows that people want this. Well, that's only the second Nintendo Warriors game. I mean, well, they don't have a lot of games that would, or series that would be inclined to be a Warriors
game. Dude, Mario Warriors would be dope.
Okay.
That would be cool.
Mario Warriors.
But, yeah, so, like, that's the first one that they went to after Zelda, and, like, Swords make sense and everything, but, like, I think that still is significant. So, four games, like, that's just, it's a lot.
Super Smash Brothers Warriors.
Dude.
Smash.
Warriors.
So basically Smash.
Yeah, but more button mashing.
No. Edwin, do you have any thoughts? Like, how much of a Fire Emblem fan were you before Awakening on the 3DS?
I've played Fire Emblem. So I played Fire Emblem 7, which is the first one in the US, when I was like, I don't remember how old it was, but I was probably in middle school at least.
Fire Emblem's
a big part of my,
I feel like that's one of the first things we talked about.
Yeah.
Like when we became friends.
Yeah, I love Fire Emblem because I played games like Advance Wars and things like that, and it was within the same stuff, but I was really invested in the characters. Because I feel like Fire Emblem has a lot of strengths. It has like its own gameplay style and everything. But you get invested in the characters, the story.
That's definitely
a
major part of it.
Especially in, like, yeah, I got really hooked on that first game, and I had no idea what it was at the beginning. I just kind of picked it up. My mom was like, here, you could get one new game, and I was like, this one looks really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I started playing it, and, like, I got hooked on it. So when I saw that Sacred Stones came out, which was still a pretty, like, not widely recognized game, I was really excited for it. I bought it immediately, played that through. And when I saw what Awakening was doing for the series, I was super excited, because I knew that would mean probably a couple more. I didn't expect four games.
Yeah.
But I knew it would mean a lot more continuation for that series, and I don't know, I'm just extremely happy and excited to see its future. Like, it's always been one of my, like, favorite games. It's something that, like, stuck with my memory. There's a lot of characters in every one, but I remember each of them, well, not all of them, but I remember a lot of them very specifically. You know, you get attached to specific characters across the games, and that's what I really love about it. Just kind of sticks with you.
That's, yeah, no, yeah. I mean, I'm more recent, like, my first Fire Emblem, well, I played back when Blockbuster was still a thing. I rented Fire Emblem, was it Radiant Dawn, the one on the Wii?
That's the Wii one,
yeah. Yeah, so I, like, rented that. I didn't get very far because I had, you know, like, 5 days. And then I also had school, right. So like I didn't really play it much.
They're not the kind of games that are conducive to like short play.
Yeah,
they're a big investment.
Well, but now because of Fire Emblem Heroes, it is.
Oh yeah, well I say that, but yeah. like small investments over time, you can
definitely
get in on that.
And so my first real Fire Emblem game was Awakening, and it's an amazing game, but because of how good it was, like, I'd never want to replay all of the old ones and, like, not have certain things. Like, I understand that the, like, pairing system is specific to, like, that one, so it would be weird for me to, like, getting used to that mechanic and not having it in all of the old games and kind of stuff like that. So I'm totally fine with just living in my future, you know, and just only going forward. But
that first one is so good, though.
It's really so good. But I get what you're saying. Yeah. Like, it's hard
to... No, that does make sense.
When you lose so...
doing that now, going back to
you are, yeah, yeah. I feel like that's a little different with like Zelda, though.
I mean, it's different for everything, but the idea that like, yeah, just what like you don't want to like stick with the future and not like,
yeah, you just don't want to lose the stuff you got used to.
I mean, it is tough for me to like really love A Link to the Past because it's not like Ocarina of Time is, and it's not like how I'm used to Zelda being. So like, when I beat that game eventually, I won't love it like the game, like the Zelda games that I have loved. And so it's like not the, it's not one to one, but it's like the similar idea. It's that way whenever you go like back to play older games,
yeah,
there, because there are mechanics that are missing.
So when it comes to Fire Emblem Heroes, I want to spend a little bit of time there because that's the most recent Fire Emblem game, and it also marks the start of what I think is going to be a very different Nintendo. When we're talking about like what Fire Emblem means for Nintendo's future, I think Fire Emblem Heroes is going to be a big part of that. So it's a mobile game, and Nintendo so far has released two other mobile apps. They've released Miitomo and Super Mario Run.
And developed by Nintendo.
Yeah. And now finally we have Fire Emblem Heroes. And out of those three, I would say that Fire Emblem Heroes feels like the most mobile game out of those three games. Evan, you're gonna be writing a review.
Oh yes.
It might even be out by the time that this posts, so maybe it's possible. But I mean, you spent the most time with this game out of the four of us. So
I think Gary and I have played similar times. I'm a few levels ahead of him. You're a few levels in the main story, but have you spent a lot of time grinding in like the training modes?
No,
I've been grinding out other characters and like forming. Trying to form other teams. So I'm not farther ahead, but I think I probably have spent a little bit more time in it.
I guess could you tell us about the game and like what makes it different from other Fire Emblems and your first impressions?
Yeah, I got very hooked into this game almost right at the beginning. I was a little worried about it just like to start because I didn't know how they were going to be able to do Fire Emblem on mobile. All the grids are 8x6, which is a very small grid, and you're limited to only 4 party members. So I was worried about how they were going to like keep all the strategizing, like picking your team and like having your favorite characters and everything. But like they actually transition the essence of Fire Emblem almost perfectly. Like everything in like your actual Fire Emblem games is in there. It's just really simplified. Like the complexity of the weapon triangle is dumbed down, but there still are little like nods to it. One of the things I thought was most impressive is that one of the characters that I have has an item equipped. It's technically a skill. Maybe we'll get to that. But it functions how that item is supposed to. But it's, like, treated in a... It's not, like, obvious... It's not, like, complicated. Like, in the main game, it's, like, another thing. But, like, in this game, it's very smooth to understand, like, what's going on with it. I don't know. It just feels like Fire Emblem, which is the most impressive thing.
But it also feels very much like a mobile
game. I mean, it's Fire Emblem Lite, but free-to-play Fire Emblem that's, like, a little bit dumbed down and still fun. And there's still, like, hard tactical decisions. Like, the start of the game is really easy. You can pretty much just throw, like, some of your better characters. If you've leveled them up, you can just kind of throw them into people and they'll, like, wipe them out. But as you get on, like, there are actually, like, characters you have to think about how characters will match up fighting against different characters. The weapon triangle does become very important later on. So there is still that difficulty that you, if you're like really into Fire Emblem, that you kind of want to be able to get out of it. It's really hard to say that because it doesn't feel like it's too different from like the other games. Obviously the mechanics around it, like how you get heroes and how you level up and everything is like a little different.
So let's talk about some of those things, because I think when you know, talking about how this game is different and how it's significant, I think that's like a major part of that. Because when I'm playing this game, there's so many things that remind me of like games like Clash of Clans and games like even Candy Crush, and just because of all of what I've been calling like hooks, but like there's like all of these like snags, right? Like there's a stamina meter,
mm-hmm.
and so battling takes away some of your stamina points, and then those points replenish over time, or you can make that go faster by spending real
money. So the way the stamina meter works is that you have 50 like stamina points, and every time you go to play a mission, you use up stamina to start that mission. A lot of them at the beginning cost like kind of cheap, but as you get later into the game, start to cost more and more. And you get one stamina point regenerates after every 5 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which is really slow. There are items that will fully replenish it that you can buy, and that you can also like get by doing completing some tasks in game. So yeah. The stamina meter is, and when you run out of stamina, you just can't load levels. Mm-hmm. You can still like have the app running and like edit teams and stuff, but you can't play missions.
Yeah.
That's how the stamina. That's how the stamina meter works, and that's like kind of one of the hooks that you would be talking about. Is that like, if you don't want to constantly have to be like waiting for the game to load, then you spend money on those items that will regen your stamina, so you can like just keep playing. And that's the part of the game that I really am having the most trouble with, because like, if that wasn't a thing, I would have been playing it like pretty much all today.
Yeah.
I would just keep grinding out levels because I'm a fan of the grind, especially in Fire Emblem games. But it stops you, and that's like kind of annoying.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me. I don't play too many free to play games, so I'm not like totally hooked onto that stuff, onto that play style.
So, I mean, but that's not uncommon.
No, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, no, it's totally like, I'm just having to get used to it because I'm saying like, that's like, I've never played a free-to-play game that's like, I've never played a game that's like that.
So, I mean, what that makes me think of, it was like, for you playing this game, it feels really odd having to deal with these like mobile-like things. And it like goes even further, like there's orbs that mm-hmm. like you get to summon heroes to join your team.
And those are really tough to get.
And you can upgrade your castle. You can upgrade weapons with shards and basically just a ton of consumable items that you can get through playing the game, but also you can outright buy them with human dollars. And so there's so many ways to play the game without ever spending money, but you also kind of at some point hit some wall, and that's how every free-to-play mobile game mm-hmm. is basically set up. And
so the real boss is Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Paying him or not.
Always the real boss.
Yeah. The real boss is, can't think of the word, Capitalism.
Communism.
Communism.
Don't get those confused. You'll be talking to two completely different groups of people.
They're going to have one heck of a rally just depending on which one.
This character has a hammer and a sickle.
Oh, no.
That's what I'm called. This name seems to be in...
Who's Karl Marx? I don't remember him.
Yeah, which Fire Emblem game is Karl Marx from? Sounds like one of the older ones. I don't recognize it at all. But I mean, you're not used to those things, but everything else feels very much like Fire
so
Emblem.
Fire Emblem. All of the little details, weapons being better against certain certain classes being like super effective against other classes.
One thing I noticed that I think led to the popularity of Awakening and like Conquest and Fates is the other one?
Fates.
Yeah.
No, it's not Fates. So, is that
it's
the new?
Fates. It's the new one that comes. It's Fates. Okay. Fates and Conquest came out 2 years ago. Echoes is coming out this year.
Okay. So Fates is the name. So like Fire Emblem Fates, but then the
there's three underneath that. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's Conquest,
Birthright, Conquest,
right,
and Revelation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think one of the major, well, at least one of the aspects that led to the popularity of the last two games has been that they've implicated more of a dating sim application in the game. So it's an RPG, but also a dating sim, because you're also you're considering the relationships between the warriors. Because if you link them and you have them talk enough and they spend enough time like just adjacent to each other, they can have conversations. And that leads to later on in the game their children appearing from the future.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah, and
it is a really cool.
And that really changed from the first two that were released in America.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that broadened the genre a lot because I remember my sister asking me about Fire Emblem because all her friends who were girls were playing that game because it was a dating sim as well as an RPG.
Yeah, that's cool.
So I think that
you could ship whoever you wanted.
Yeah, exactly. Basically, you had a lot of control.
That's
over that.
Like people. Some people play video games solely for shipping,
yeah,
and like considering the relationships. So it really broadened the implications of it, and seeing what you do with the characters, and even who you just place them next to. And I think that really broadened the genre. And I'm repeating myself, but that's what I find lacking in this new one is that I feel like the relationships and the conversations are not as prevalent in the mobile game. And that makes sense because that's a lot of programming.
More in-depth,
yeah.
A lot of writing.
But
a lot of voice acting.
I think they're losing that from the last two, which have been the most successful games in the genre. So
I'm sure it'll be in Echoes.
Yeah, I'm sure it has to be in everything else.
Yeah, they can't take that out at this point, I think.
It's too important.
They're going to lose so much of their fan base.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So for me, what I think of is, like, for the Fire Emblem fans, like, it is a great game, but I can see, like, this is such a great transition game.
Just
for so many people where there is enough where it feels very much like Fire Emblem, where, like, core fans don't feel cheated out or you know feel like it's some lame watered down version. Like, we know that there's obviously some concessions, we understand that it's not the full experience, but there's enough there.
Mm-hmm.
But now this game is available to millions
around the world.
So many more people. Just, Nintendo could have reached
so
just on their own consoles.
And it's in a format that people who primarily play mobile games already understand. Like, like they are used to having that
microtransactions.
Yeah, they're like used to microtransactions or in-app purchases. They're used to their progress being hindered by by some stamina thing, and there are things that they're comfortable with, and like so if you give them Fire Emblem Fates, but it's what we consider simplified mechanics.
You mean Heroes?
Yeah.
Heroes.
If like we give them that game, it's actually really complex.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it's like still has a lot of depth. A lot of strategy, a lot of customization. Like, there's so much to do within this game where for, you know, someone who's not a hardcore gamer, a hardcore Nintendo fan, like, this is the perfect gateway and just that perfect taste. And like, when we talk about Nintendo's future, like more than Super Mario Run, more than Miitomo, like, this would be the game that could convert someone from a mobile gamer to maybe get Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Especially because it's an unknown series to some people.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, if people, like, play the Super Mario Run, they already still know Mario. So they know that Mario's on, Switch, but like they're just like, yeah, but Mario is Mario, like it's not a big deal. But if they play Fire Emblem and they get really into it, like all of a sudden, like they're into this series, and
yeah, like you're they like, might actually, you're like, where can I find more? Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, well,
right here, and the rollout is also like really smart because it's going Heroes, and then
Heroes is the first out of
for the next four games,
yeah,
and it's gonna go Heroes, Echoes, and then. Probably the Warriors later, and then the Switch one. And the Warriors one might be like a little weird in that rollout, but like you have the opportunity to go from the mobile like simplified one into the handheld one, and then into the console one.
Yeah.
And that's a pretty like smart run of doing that.
And another thing too that is going to attract a lot of people into it who maybe just download it because they saw it like it's higher up on the rankings. Mm-hmm. Is the amount of detail they put into the character design.
The art.
Oh, yeah.
And mm-hmm. when you look at the descriptions of each character, you see the artist who drew the image.
Oh, that's cool.
As well as the voice actor mm-hmm. who does the lines.
Yeah.
So you really can play it with the audio on because there's so much detail mm-hmm. in the voices as well. But that much depth and like descriptions and details of the characters really draws in people too. And we've seen that with Overwatch.
Yeah.
Is if you take care of your characters and you really make them realistic and you give them a lot of quirks, people are drawn to that.
Yeah.
And so the person who is downloading this game because they see it on the iTunes store is going to fall in love with the character because of how well they're drawn or how beautifully they're crafted. And that's going to draw more people in who aren't normally gamers necessarily. So there's a lot of depth. And I think we're seeing that more and more is people are drawn to visuals more so because everything has to be dumbed down to advertise too. So
it's also very smooth, the UI mm-hmm. and how everything works. Also, yep. the tutorial is also what sold me on the game because it's classic Fire Emblem.
way
all of that pans out with you starting with one character on the screen, and you have to like drag them over mm-hmm. to the enemy, and so you have to
only to one
them.
Spot,
only the one specific spot, and then you have to kill the enemy, and you will always kill that first enemy mm-hmm. easy on the first try because their stats are so low.
Confidence,
and then
first,
you like keep like going on, and like they walk you through those first three levels, mm-hmm. and then like right after that, like. It was like, okay, this is a Fire Emblem game. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's not like, the system didn't feel like changed. Like it, even though the story is not good in this game, it still feels like a Fire Emblem
Super
story.
Mario
like, I still
Run
believe in it.
Didn't, right? I think like Super Mario Run felt like watered down Mario.
Yeah.
This...
Like they had to change how the game was structured because it was on mobile.
Yeah.
Like and Fire Emblem feels like it's structured the same way that any other Fire Emblem
mm-hmm.
game
mm-hmm.
has been
mm-hmm.
structured.
Yeah.
They just like, it's the actual combat is just simplified.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like you can do so many things that you can do in like other Fire Emblem games. In the console at least for the GameCube one, you can like spend extra EXP to like level up your characters outside of combat.
Yeah.
And you can do that in this game
mm-hmm.
too. So like they haven't lost they've barely lost any of the actual mechanics of the game. You don't have the dating stuff, but that's because you have all these characters,
mm-hmm.
all that stuff. We've talked about
it's like hundreds of like of different hair characters and trying to like
different hairstyle options for the kids.
Yeah. They would like never finish that game. It would never come out.
And imagine how many patches they would need for it.
Yeah,
too.
Seriously.
So.
I actually think it's really really smart. So the way this story works is kind of strange. It's like you are a great hero or like, you know, destined to like, and like you like get this magic bow that when you fire it, it like summons
human beings
and those humans join your party. And all of these characters are from all the various Fire Emblem games. And then some new ones. Story-wise, it's completely
flat. Very flat. Below any other Fire Emblem.
Yeah.
It's pretty dumb, but...
The watercolors.
There actually is one character that's, like, kind of interesting in it, and that's Xander.
Xander.
Because, well, you haven't gotten there yet.
He's, like,
But he, like, kind of, like, chooses to, like, fight. Like, all the people, when you, like, fight, like, other heroes, like... You're like curing them of their like
contract
that they have to fight you. Mm-hmm. But Xander, even when like you beat him, this happens like in the second chapter, so I feel like it's not a spoiler for the story. That's not that great, whatever. But he's cool because like when you like defeat him, he still chooses to fight against you.
Yeah,
he says that's actually an interesting character motivation. I want to see when he pops up again.
He says like, my contract is fulfilled, but I'm staying with her because I see the loneliness in her eyes.
Which is actually
sure. All right, Xander.
It's very.
I have no idea how all that's gonna.
That's not why I ship Xander with.
Yeah, I like. There's something about a certain level of like genius of like putting every Fire Emblem character ever
so awesome
in one game and like having it be that, you know, gateway game.
Yeah,
like now people can look back, or if this is their introduction into Fire Emblem and they want to know more, they now have like 10 other games that they can go back
to. Pretty readily accessible games.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they recognize all of these characters from playing the mobile game.
Mm-hmm.
And so they feel connected. They don't feel completely lost. They don't feel like they're trying to like catch up on like all of this history, because they're getting a lot of that through the mobile game. I think Nintendo is really on the right track with his one.
And linking your account to Nintendo also gets you more gems.
So you get a Nintendo account.
Exactly. And another thing too, I was looking up articles about the game, and I guess what's trending now is people are deleting the app so that they try again to get the heroes they want in the beginning.
So you can like start the game off with a 5-star or like a 4-star.
Yeah. Right. So it's being downloaded a lot more because people are deleting the app.
It's highly rated though. It's got like a 4.6 out of 5 out of like 2,700 reviews on the App Store, which is like really good.
Yeah.
And to your point about it being a good gateway for like people who don't know the series, it's also obviously because, well, for some hardcore gamers, at least for people who are really into the series, it's just awesome because you could like theoretically create like whatever dream team you want.
Yeah, I'm about to spend a lot of
time
on that.
You could put characters from like games that don't belong together on the same team. Be like, I want Marth fighting with Hector, fighting with Cordelia or whatever.
Oh, that's actually really cool.
Or you can like recreate classic teams. Like you could do Hector, Elwood,
but
you can't ship Hector and Elwood, unfortunately. But yeah.
A magical adoption.
You can still like have them on the same team. That's just cool. And I got Elwood, who's like the father of Roy. And so like when I had to fight Roy for the first time, I like made Elwood fight his son in a
ass. Yeah, it's like Hamlet.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And you know, you're all just like
exactly Hamlet. Like Hamlet. With the bow that summons human beings.
Yeah.
With
all Hamlet. Everything. Yeah.
Shakespeare copied.
Copied Fire Emblem.
Yeah. Writing's on the wall.
Yeah, Nintendo's a really old company. So.
Yeah. It's been around what? Since like...
The birth of Christ, I think.
Probably before.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Super Jesus, bro.
We're gonna wrap it up here. With that last joke there. And so this has been another episode of Trust Circle. We post every Wednesday at 6 a.m. Please follow us on Twitter at Trust Circle Cast. Subscribe to us on iTunes, Google Play, or your favorite podcast services. And join us in our mission to get one brand new written review every week in 2017. Until next time, we will see you later. And next week, we will be rejoined by Devin and Valerie, so stay tuned. Adios.